This is NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. '12 was a big year for big money in American politics. But most of the spending wasn't by candidates or established parties. It was by outside political groups dubbed super PACs. These groups' campaign-related outlays totaled an estimated $1 billion nationally, from spending on the presidential election to congressional races, even to state legislative and governor's races. Here in New Hampshire, our gubernatorial contest was one of the most watched, and because of that, was one of the most expensive ever. According to the Associated Press, an estimated $23 million was spent on the campaign between Democrat Maggie Hassan and Republican Ovid LaMontagne, with only a fraction of that money coming from the actual candidates. And so this rising super PAC activity has stirred rising concern in our state house, with several bills to curb their influence debated, including a bipartisan state Senate measure seeking more disclosure of who's donating to these organizations. But that effort and others have run into free speech problems that always arise when it comes to campaign finance. The concern that political speech is strongly protected by our Constitution and by U.S. Supreme Court rulings, and that any limits cannot run afoul of that right. Today in The Exchange, the return of campaign finance reform, and we begin the hour with the sponsor of that state Senate bill I just mentioned, Republican Jeb Bradley of Wolfboro is the sponsor. And Senator Bradley, welcome to The Exchange. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good, thanks. And give us just a bare-bones description, if you could, Senator Bradley, of what this bill would do, why you felt it was necessary.
Well, thank you very much. I think, especially after your introduction, which talked about how much outside influence there is through these super PACs in our elections in New Hampshire and through every other state, that I, as well as a group of other legislators, bipartisan in nature, thought there should be increased disclosure about who's spending what. And it would be disclosure for groups ranging from Crossroads, certainly a conservative-leaning super PAC, to Organizing for America, a liberal-leaning super PAC. And through disclosure, we would know what those entities are spending, not their donors, but the amounts of dollars that they're spending on electioneering in New Hampshire. So in my view, it's not any kind of attempt to chill free speech. It's just to make sure that there's transparent speech.
So what they're spending on elections in New Hampshire, these big national groups, but not who's donating to these groups?
Well, some people would obviously like to have donor lists available and open, but I don't think that there would be bipartisan support for that. I mean, that was proposed a few years ago, and it didn't go anywhere. But I think what there is support for is a disclosure of what these organizations are spending, how much.
As I understand, Senator Bradley, this bill was tabled. Explain what that means. What does it mean for a bill
to be
tabled?
Well, not really tabled. It was referred for study.
Okay.
Our electioneering laws in New Hampshire are pretty convoluted and complicated. Senator Booten, who chairs the Senate committee that deals with the election law issues, has done a terrific job of bringing in all the parties, Secretary of State's office, the Attorney General's office. But because of the complexity and because, quite frankly, the workload was pretty high for that committee this year, I think there was, and again, a bipartisan decision that we wanted to get it right, not get it hurried. And there are a lot of different definitions that have to be weighed carefully to make sure that it's done right. So it will be taken up at a, I wouldn't say a more leisurely pace, but a more measured pace over the summer and fall. And I think by January, we should be able to come out with a finished product that hopefully both sides can agree to and then send it to the House and be implemented into law in time to make it apply for the 2014 election.
Had you originally, Senator Bradley or others supporting this bill, had you originally wanted disclosure not just of who's spending what, but who's donating to these super PACs? Had that been an original goal? Did that change? Or
that was never a goal of mine. It had been a goal of others in the past. And I think it really caused heightened consternation. And I think, there are going to be some people that don't even want any transparency at all of how much they're spending, but revealing donors just seemed to go too far to me.
How does that help voters knowing who, at least in terms of the organization, and how much? How does that help people?
Well, in other words, if you know that Crossroads or Organizing for America or any other group is spending, you know, millions of dollars trying to sway an election, then at the very least you can, you know, learn more about those organizations, what their background is, and, you know, the kind of philosophy that they are talking about in their elections, and you take it into account when you're voting for a candidate.
Yeah, so you need to do a little research, though, right? Because some of these groups have pretty vague, happy-sounding names, you know, citizens this and democracy that and freedom this, right? I mean, it's not clear or obvious all the time who or
it's
what.
It's not always obvious, that's right, but at least you'll have more rudimentary knowledge than you have today, and I think that one of your guests this morning, Ms. Zink, who I've worked with to craft this legislation, you know, can give you the details on how much money they estimated was spent here and how little of it was reported. It's just a tiny percentage of the overall amount of money spent. So I think that voters in New Hampshire, and quite frankly other states are pursuing this kind of legislation too, have the right to know at least, you know, these groups that are, you know, putting their names at the bottom of the ad, which is required, you know, how much they're spending.
Yeah, so what happens next with this bill, Senator Bradley? You said it's been put off for a while, but not forever.
Well, I think that, again, the committee in the Senate that's dealing with this under Senator Booten's leadership will have the summer and the fall to work with the Attorney General's office and the Secretary of State, who've both been very helpful, and quite frankly, the Attorney General has assured us that the direction that we're going in is totally constitutional. And then we'll just, you know, make sure that we get the details right. And I think, you know, given, as I said before, the complexity of our election laws, getting the details right is important.
All right, Senator Bradley, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you.
That's Senator Jeb Bradley, a Republican from Wolfboro, who sponsored the bill we talked about for greater disclosure by super PACs, other groups in New Hampshire. Our number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Today in the Exchange, we're looking once again at campaign finance. There's been a lot of talk about this after the elections, where unprecedented sums of money were spent by outside groups. Bills, as we heard, are being debated both in New Hampshire and nationally. Let's hear what you think this hour. Are these large amounts that outside organizations invest in election outcomes, are they a problem? Or is there so much spending now that it's all kind of a wash? Should the amounts themselves be limited, or would fuller disclosure of who's giving be a better approach? Let us know what you think. Call in the Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. With us in studio, Olivia Zink, Program Director for the Coalition for Open Democracy, a nonprofit organization that links groups seeking to increase transparency. And Olivia, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Corey Lewandowski, Regional Director of the East Coast Americans for Prosperity, which promotes limited government, greater personal freedom. And Corey, welcome back. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So, Corey, you testified against this bill that Senator Bradley presented. What don't you like about it?
Well, let me be clear. Americans for Prosperity is a 501c4 organization. There is a specific exemption under Senator Bradley's bill, which would exclude 501c4s, c5s, and c6s, which are just portions of the tax code of disclosing their donors. So to be clear, under the bill, what they're saying is we don't want to know who your donors are, but we do want to know where the money is being spent. And I think the problem we have right now is in the state of New Hampshire, any group which spends more than $500 trying to influence an election is required to file forms with the Secretary of State showing that expenditure. So if you and a group of friends want to get together and form an organization and either recommend either for or against a particular issue on the ballot or for or against a specific candidate, if you spend in total in a calendar year more than $500, you have to disclose that, which is the right thing to do. So our concern here is that, you know, what we're attempting to potentially do is to limit people's ability to make contributions to organizations which is protected free speech or disclose everybody. And there are a number of specific problems with the bill, which I don't want to belabor the audience with, but some of it is just contradictory in and of itself. And I think that in the larger sense, as we go back to our history, since before our republic was even founded, political free speech was something that we have all grown and understood that, our basic First Amendment under the Bill of Rights is free speech. And, you know, when you go back as far as Thomas Paine, his original publication was founded and published under anonymous. And the reason for that is because of the fear of retribution. So I think that we have to continue to give people the opportunity, as the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled and the Fair Elections Commission have ruled, to give people the opportunity to make contributions anonymously and let them get involved in the process that way for fear of retribution.
And quick follow-up for you, if I could, Corey. Senator Bradley said he's not asking for donors' names to be disclosed, but more, let's say I have a group called, Citizens for American Happiness, that I have to disclose, I spent $1,000 on that particular effort or in this particular election cycle. He's not saying, my name be given or your name be given, but just Citizens for American Happiness.
But that is the case right now in the state of New Hampshire. So as you mentioned at the top of the hour, the expensive cost for the governor's race. The major funding which came in for the governor's race, both on the Republican and Democrat side, was from national money, and specifically from the Republican Governors Association and the Democrat Governors Association. They were then required to file as a PAC in the state of New Hampshire and disclose those contributions, disclose their expenditures. So that is already occurring right now, so I'm not sure what this bill is attempting to achieve.
And go ahead, Olivia, jump in on this bill that Senator Bradley mentioned.
So our current definition under 664 has many loopholes that we can drive a Mack truck through. And with all due respect, a lot of groups are not disclosing. So there's a problem because some groups choose to disclose and some groups don't. And so of the independent expenditures that were done in the 2010 election, millions of were spent and only 60,000 were disclosed. More were disclosed in the 2012 elections. These were groups that voluntarily chose to disclose. The problem is we need to make sure that all of the groups that are spending money to influence elections need to disclose their donors.
All right, and lots more to follow up on after a short break. Couple more questions for both of you, and we invite your questions and comments. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We'll be back in a minute.
Good morning. It's 9:19, and more on the return of campaign finance reform coming up on The Exchange. At 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, new research on red meat and heart disease. We'll have some breaks in the clouds with some sun this afternoon, mostly in central and southern areas of the state. Highs from the 60s to lower 70s, remaining mostly cloudy from the mountains north. Highs only in the mid-50s. Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Comcast Business Class, provider of internet, voice, TV, and Ethernet solutions that keep pace with the growth of your business. More information at business.comcast.com. From Restaurant Week Portsmouth and the Seacoast, a 10-day culinary experience featuring 49 restaurants now to the 13th. Details at restaurantweekportsmouth.com. And from New Hampshire's community colleges committed to increasing the number of science, technology, engineering, and math graduates in New Hampshire, ccsnh.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the Granite State debate on campaign finance reform. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. Send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on The Exchange page or on our Facebook page. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. As we look at the large amounts of money that outside groups spent on our last elections, we want your thoughts, your impressions. Is there so much spending now that voters tune it all out? How much of a problem do you think these big amounts are? Should campaign contributions themselves be limited, or would full disclosure of who's giving what be a better approach? Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And just before the break, Olivia Zink, you were talking about how you feel it's important for people to know who's giving what and to what causes, what types of political leanings. You've written specifically, though, Olivia, about a loophole in New Hampshire's law. Is New Hampshire's law particularly bad when it comes to disclosure?
New Hampshire's law has a loophole that you could drive a Mack truck through because groups, the way we define our political committees, and the growth of these independent expenditures have grown over the last year, and we just haven't kept pace. So Citizens United had a court case that said in an 8-1 decision that we must know who's speaking in our political process. And we currently don't know because of the way our disclosure laws are. We don't know. We actually don't have a definition of a PAC. We don't have a definition of a super PAC. All of these things are not defined under current statute. And the definition of a political committee is not defined well. And so a lot of groups, especially those 501c4s in nature that are doing a lot of this spending, are not required. Some choose to require, so we know some of the amounts. But when we look at the governor's race, $19 million of that $23 million was done by outside groups. So every $1 that a candidate spent in the governor's race, $5 was spent by these outside groups. And it could be more because of the limited disclosure we do have.
And just very quickly, Corey, Olivia mentioned 501c4s, and you used a couple of those titles at the beginning of the show, too. Can you just clarify for us what's a 501c4, c3, c5? It's detailed, but it's important.
Just for the basic purpose of this discussion, a 501c3, is, according to the IRS, is a tax-exempt organization, and your contribution to that organization may be deducted off your federal tax returns.
It's a nonprofit.
And a fully registered nonprofit, which is granted IRS nonprofit status. A 501c4 is also considered a nonprofit. However, your contributions are not tax deductible, and they have the ability to do additional things, which would include lobbying activities,
advocacy
work, things of that nature. So that's the clear distinction between the two.
Okay. Our phone number, for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Here's an email from Regina in Hancock, who says, why is there such a negative reaction to the idea of disclosure among special interest groups that are trying to influence elections in our state by spending millions of dollars? Regina says these groups invoke free speech, but for themselves, they want anonymity, obscurity, and secrecy. What do they want to hide? Is it not desirable to have an electorate that's well-informed so it can make intelligent choices among the candidates? I think that's for you, Corey. Go ahead, and thanks, Regina, for the email.
Thanks for the email. There's a couple important things to remember. It's not just groups, because in between 2005 and 2011, a recent Wall Street Journal study showed that unions spent more than $4 billion on political activity. So this is not just about individual groups. This is about everyone across the board. But moreover, here in New Hampshire, the bill which Senator Bradley has put forth does not have an exemption for for-profit corporations or nonprofit corporations. So let me tell you what that means. If the Girl Scouts of America were to determine to run a voter education campaign to encourage people to go and vote, under the law as it's currently written, although this is completely legal under the IRS guidelines, the Secretary of State would then require everybody who made a $25 contribution or more to the Girl Scouts in the state of New Hampshire, which is 5 boxes of Girl Scout cookies, to be disclosed. That would include name, occupation, salary, etc. And I can tell you, based on the patches which are available to the Girl Scouts, this is done in Pennsylvania, this is done in Massachusetts, this is done in Texas, in collaboration with the Secretary of State to encourage people to go and show up and vote at the ballot box. Here in New Hampshire, those entities would then be required, because there is no major purpose provision in this bill.
Well, the question is, the broader point, though, I mean, you want free speech, but for yourself, you want anonymity, obscurity, secrecy. That's Regina's point anyway. What about that broader point, Corey? And then Olivia, definitely want to hear from you, too.
Well, I think the disclosure laws, as they're currently written, I think the state needs to do a better job enforcing the laws as they currently are, as opposed to imposing new laws on people. The law is very clear that if you or your entity spends more than $500 trying to influence an advocacy campaign and or an election, you need to disclose those expenditures in the state of New Hampshire. That's very clear. $500 is a very small threshold, and that would ultimately protect you and I from sending cards to our Christmas list and asking them to support our next-door neighbor and not having to disclose that donation.
Go ahead, Olivia, and then we'll go to our callers.
I think it's really important that we know who's speaking in our political process. And really, this anonymous speech is typically more negative in nature. If you don't have to disclose who's speaking, it's much more negative. And I think voters across the board really don't like that negative tone in our advertisements. But to Regina's point, we must consider that there's important information that is secret right now in our process, and that we need to get that hidden money out so that voters really have the information when they go to the polls, that this ad was paid for by this large corporate interest, this union that wants to protect their pensions, really know what the agenda is behind the secret out-of-state money that's spending money in our election system. And the Girl Scouts right now are a C3 organizations.
A nonprofit.
Nonprofit organizations are not allowed to do this sort of electioneering communications. They're not allowed to make these independent expenditures. If they do that, they will lose their IRS status.
Let me just touch on that because it's very, very important. The federal government, the IRS specifically has ruled that they can do educational component things, which I have in my hand, the patch program from Texas, the patch program for the
patch
Girl Scouts.
Meaning like Girl Scout
the
badges.
Girl Scout patches, the badges from Massachusetts, which specifically says, I promised a Girl Scout I'd vote patch program. This is what they're allowed to do. The IRS has clearly identified that they are allowed to do so on their own website. And what they're not saying is who you need to vote for, but what they're saying, go out and vote.
Let's take some calls. See what our listeners think. Again, the number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Keep those emails short. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Bruce is waiting in Londonderry. Hi, Bruce. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to say that this bill that Senator Bradley is sponsoring is a total sham. Who is spending the money? That's what we need to know. Is this ad being funded by a billionaire Koch brothers who are representing big oil interests, or is it some out-of-state business group that is here making advertisements so they can make some killing on something in New Hampshire at our expense, or is it a local New Hampshire-based group that's representing thousands of people who contribute $2 or $3? And it has some broad base. Those things make a big difference to me as far as deciding, you know, who's behind this and what is it really about.
So, Bruce, you say Senator Bradley's. Yeah, can I ask you a quick question? Sure. You're saying Senator Bradley's bill is a sham, in your words, not because of the broader concept, but because it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't require disclosure of the actual names of donors. Is that what you're saying? Do I have you right?
Right. What we need to know is who is actually making the contributions, not just the total amount of money that's being spent there. Ideally, you know, and I understand that the Citizens United case really damaged our political system, to an extraordinary extent. But really, ideally, what we should have is maximum contributions that ensures a more equal voice for all the citizens, because that's really what free speech is about. Otherwise, you have free speech for the rich, and you don't have any speech for the poor.
Okay, and Bruce, 2 points I want to follow up on. So thank you for calling. And to you first, Olivia, he's saying, look, Senator Bradley's bill doesn't go nearly far enough. It's not enough just to know that this ad was brought to you by some happy-sounding name, but also who? Is it oil interests? Is it unions? Is it, you know, who knows what? Different types of corporations. What do you think?
I agree with the caller, Bruce. Thank you so much for your point, because we really do need to disclose donors. We've been working on disclosure legislation at the State House for 5 years. And last year, the Senate passed a bill that would disclose a partial disclosure bill. And this bill, Senator Bradley's bill, is modeled on that partial disclosure. When you're making policy, sometimes you have to make policy one step at a time. And so the first step would be disclose spending. And then what we need to do is go back and get that donor disclosure so that we really have true transparency like Bruce is wanting. But also true transparency takes groups several steps back, because a lot of times money is passed through. Like, I'll give you money and then you give it to somebody else. So you really don't ever get back to that millionaire who's actually donating, which is Bruce's point. And so I think some of this, the money that's spent is a web, and that really getting to that donor disclosure that's really meaningful like Bruce wants would take some work.
So you agree with him that Senator Bradley's bill doesn't go far enough? What about Corey's point earlier, though, that, you know, political dissent deserves sometimes to have anonymity so that you don't face political retribution? He used the example of Thomas Paine way back in our founding. What do you think about that, Olivia?
I think a lot's changed since Thomas Paine. I think when you're spending money to influence voters, we really need to know who's speaking in that debate. Justice Scalia has a great quote around disclosure, requiring people to stand up in the public for their political ads fosters civic courage. Without this courage, democracy is doomed. And I think we really should look at his words, because it's really important that we know who's speaking in our political process. It gives it integrity.
What do you think about that, Corey?
Here's what I think. I think the disclosure which you're asking for that is recommended in this bill is what is commonly referred to as junk disclosure. And junk disclosure, what I mean is the bill makes no exemption for for-profit corporations who decide that they want to engage in First Amendment activities such as promoting the success or defeat of a candidate or a ballot measure, if they want to sponsor independent expenditures and or sponsor electioneering communications. They would be subject to all disclosure requirements. So there's no exemption for the reporting of commercial stock transactions. Let me give you an example. If Comcast Corporation or Public Service of New Hampshire decided to alert their membership as a for-profit corporation that the elections were coming and that you should go out and vote, they would then be required, if this bill were to pass, because there is no exemption for for-profit corporations, to disclose every single individual who is a member of their corporation who has given them $25 more in a calendar year, which means every resident of New Hampshire who's a member of Public Service of New Hampshire would then have to be disclosed under the Secretary of State's office. Now, I don't know what good that would do anybody other than me understanding what my neighbor's electric bill would be, because the major purpose of this bill has that provision has nothing to do with actual electioneering communication. But because the bill is so poorly written, the way it is written right now is everybody who makes a contribution to those for-profit companies, so Comcast Corporation, Public Service of New Hampshire, would legally be required to be disclosed. And then any researcher who's going to go on the back end and try and find out how much money have you given will literally just know how much you pay in your electric bill or your Verizon bill.
So is the problem the broader philosophy, Corey, or is it more the particulars of the way that this bill is written? Because a couple times when I've asked you about it, you've had more detailed concerns, but I'm wondering about the broad philosophy, if the bill could be better written, in your opinion, of telling voters who's funding what.
I think the bill is fundamentally flawed, number one. That's very important. But the second thing is the Supreme Court held in the Citizens United versus the FEC, or the Federal Elections Commission, that political spending is a form of protected free speech. That is what they have said. As such, we assert that donors deserve protection in order to exercise their free right of speech.
Okay, let's go to another caller. This is Jillian waiting in Hudson. Hi, Jillian. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just would like a little disclosure on the show this morning. You know, Americans for Prosperity spent in ads targeting, you know, retired teachers running for state reps here in New Hampshire who, you know, don't have money to fight back against that. And I just am curious, you know, how much they spent here in New Hampshire in 2012. And, you know, who's funding this group? Why don't they like my neighbor, the retired teacher? You know, what's their goal in this? Who's funding them?
So your neighbor was a retired teacher, Jillian, who wanted to run for the legislature. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And they put out a postcard saying, you know, don't vote for him.
AFP, Americans for Prosperity?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they don't know him. You know, it just seems so crazy to me.
So it was an unfair fight, in your opinion?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Jillian, thanks for calling in. Corey, that one's for you. Again, you're with Americans for Prosperity. Go ahead.
I am, and I would have to say that I would take exception with Jillian's characterization that we said to either vote for or against somebody. That has never been the case.
You talk about issues.
That's right. We talk specifically about issues. Now, if we educated their neighbors on their existing voting record or positions they have taken publicly and alerted their constituents in that district about those issues, that's fair game, but never do we say vote for or against a candidate. We allow you to draw your own conclusions based on the individual's voting record or the individual's record of where they stand on public positions.
Here's an email. Thanks for the call, Jillian. Here's an email from Zandra, who says, Corey Lewandowski from Americans for Prosperity on campaign finance disclosure. As a reminder, Corey/AFP/Koch Brothers took over the group New Hampshire Advantage Coalition this year used to hide behind it as they set out a slew of campaign attack mailers without disclosing connections or funding. She says it's interesting that he continues to be the prime voice behind stopping campaign finance disclosure legislation. Again, Corey, what do you think? Here's another emailer saying, look, we need to know. We need to know who these folks are, including your group.
Let me be clear. We have abide by every law which the state of New Hampshire has. And so if there are laws which are on the books, we'll abide by them. The current laws indicate that if you spend more than $500 in a calendar year advocating for or against a specific public policy issue or for or against a candidate's election, then you need to disclose those expenditures. We have done so. You know, anybody who has come to our events has known that 2 years ago this month we held the Conservative of the Year dinner. We had five presidential candidates come there. We are a 501c3 nonprofit through our foundation. We are a 501c4 through our Americans for Prosperity, as is my colleague who sits here, who represents both a 501c3 and is a registered lobbyist in the state of New Hampshire, of which I am not. So let me be clear. You know, I am not a registered lobbyist in the state. I don't have to wear an orange badge as I walk to State House. When I give public testimony, it's through my own volition, and I follow all the laws which apply. So I'm not sure what disclosure we're looking at, but when it relates to spending money from our organization, we ensure that we comply with the law and we disclose everything that we're required to do so.
Yeah, and Olivia, jump in on this. And one take from the 2012 elections, as we talk about disclosure and the big amounts of money and your concerns over that, but some people said, look, in the end, big money didn't seem to make much of a difference in the outcome. Liberals were very worried about the influence of the Koch brothers and so forth, super PACs supporting Republican candidates. But in the end, some analysts said, you know, the Koch brothers and Karl Rove lost despite the heavy dollar amount. So is it possible, Olivia, that past a certain point, money doesn't matter that much?
When it comes to money and speech, I think money does matter. I mean, why would they invest all this money without wanting something in return? Money does matter. There is a threshold of what's enough and what's more than enough, right? And so they spent a lot, and maybe it wasn't enough to get what they wanted, which was election of certain candidates. With all due respect, with Corey, he Americans for Prosperity did not file at the Secretary of State's on all of those mailers that they did in the 2012 elections, because they're not required to. And that's why we need to change our laws so that groups like Corey's that are spending a lot of money to influence the election should register at the Secretary of State so we can pull down those reports and see that.
We will take more of your calls after a short break and more of your emails, too. Exchange at NHPR.org is the number. Exchange at NHPR.org is the email address. The number is 1-800-892-6477. Keep it right here.
This is NHPR, where support comes from you, our members, and from the NEEF Network organizations working with the New Hampshire Department of Education to increase the college aspirations of local students at imcollegebound.org. And the co-op food stores of Lebanon, Hanover, and White River Junction offering fresh seafood labeled to meet sustainability standards set by Fishwise, a nonprofit certifier and partner of Greenpeace. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
Today on Word of Mouth, the Fanatics of Fenway. Another season begins and another chance at redemption for Red Sox devotees. We'll explore the role of baseball in politics, family, and how optimism bordering on the delusional plays into fan psychology. I'm Virginia Prescott. Word of Mouth knocks new ideas out of the park. Today at noon and again at 9 on NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, the latest on bullying in the Granite State. Email us your thoughts or personal experiences before the program at exchange@nhpr.org. And join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, the issue of campaign finance reform returns to the Granite State. We've been talking about some of the laws that have been proposed at the State House, including one that would require greater disclosure of outside groups spending on elections. Give us a call. What do you think? How much of a problem do you think these large amounts that we've seen super PACs spend on elections are? Is there so much spending now that voters kind of tune it all out? Should campaign contributions themselves be limited, or would full disclosure of who's giving what be a better approach? We want your thoughts, questions, comments at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Corey Lewandowski, Olivia Zink, we've talked a lot about this disclosure law that Senator Bradley and others have proposed in the state Senate. But I just want to step back with you, and I think to you first, Olivia. All right, so what's the ideal system in your mind? Sketch it out for us in terms of disclosure, limits on contribution, limits on spending, if any. What's perfect in your mind?
I would love to see a system similar to what Maine has, where there is a public funding of elections, so that candidates who want to raise money, who want to run for office, don't have to spend so much of their time fundraising. And I'd also, with this, the candidates' portion of money being spent in elections is just a small portion. The outside special interest secret money is the amount of where vast amounts of money are spent in our elections. And that needs to be fully disclosed. We need full transparency so we know who is making that political speech and who is trying to bankroll our elections. And so we need to curve that. And I also think electioneering, this industry is a full-time industry. You have consultants, people are working for elections year-round, and we really need to shrink that time frame so that voters are not being inundated with political messages all year-round.
That'd be tough to do, though, in a free society. I mean, to just say, you know, now we can turn it on and now we can turn it off.
You look in other countries, there are some, there are limits of when those messages can be delivered and their time frames, but how many days before elections?
No, I noticed in what you said, Olivia, you didn't say limits on spending or limits on contributions. Is that not a big concern? It's more disclosure, public funding, and so forth?
I think when you get into the limits, there are some concerns that some groups have with how much money can be spent. And I actually think that more speech is important, that we know who's speaking and we know how much. When you try to limit, when they say money is speech and you want to limit that speech, then you're limiting rights. And I think that we can do it in other ways with a public funding system or in other ways so that we can counter that interest of the special interest money.
Corey, what do you think? Sketch it out for us. Your perfect system.
Well, you know, you really got to go back and look at the McCain-Feingold Act of 2002, which really changed the whole way our campaign finance system works. And what it had originally decided was that it wanted to, the intention of that bill was to diminish the amount of money in campaigns, the influence of money in campaigns. However, it actually had the diminishing effect of involving party structure with money, because there are limitations of how much individuals can give to specific parties, whether Republicans or Democrats, and as such, they've gone to outside groups to make sure that their message can be said and heard. So we've seen unions spend $4 billion over the last 5 years trying to influence elections. You know, as we talk about what other countries are doing, if you look at Western Europe, for example, the Sierra Club and the National Right to Life Committee, they would be considered political parties, not independent groups. And I think it's very, very dangerous if we're going to be looking at other countries for a model of what we want to accomplish here in the United States. And very specifically, you know, political parties are not as strong as they used to be. And that's because of the rise of these outside groups and super PACs.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think, you know, the notion that you have these political party bosses in Chicago and Boston dictating who's going to be the next mayor. And we just saw in New York 2 weeks ago a bunch of individuals get arrested in an FBI sting because they're trying to dictate who's going to be the next mayor of Boston, of New York. I think it's important that these outside organizations have the ability to communicate with their membership and get their message out to the voters so the voters can have an informed decision of who they want to support in the election based on public documents and voting records of these individuals who are running for office.
So in terms of the perfect system, sounds like you feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, please, we're heading in that direction towards a system where there's more participants.
That's right. I think the system works. We have, here in New Hampshire, the Secretary of State has ruled that there is no longer a limitation on how much money an individual can give to a political action committee. And we saw a $100,000 donor come in from New York to support at the time what was the gay marriage issue. The Secretary of State said that that is legal. It is within the confines of the state of New Hampshire's laws. As long as that money is spent, and these independent groups, to be clear, cannot coordinate in any way, shape, or form with the candidates themselves. So they need to go and do their own activities, independent specifically of the name of the candidates that they're either attempting to influence and or on issues they're working on.
Let's take some more calls if we could. The number here in the exchange, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Brian's calling from Merrimack. Hi, Brian. You're on the air. Go ahead. Brian, are you with us in Merrimack? You're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, hopefully Brian will call back. Again, that number, 1-800-892-6477, email exchange at nhpr.org. You know, it's interesting, Corey, that you mentioned the McCain-Feingold Act and how that sort of helped spawn super PACs because money was constrained at the party level and at the candidate level, so it just kind of mushroomed out into other areas. Olivia, this is a question for you. Seems like every time somebody proposes a limit on campaign spending or campaign contributions, donors find a way around it, and it just keeps turning into an arms race almost, where one loophole's closed, another one's open. What do you think, Olivia? I mean, at what point do you stop barking up this tree?
Well, I agree that sometimes there's loopholes that we can drive a Mack truck through, and I think Senator Booten and Senator Bradley are really looking at a thoughtful way of when we close this loophole around donor disclosure, how do we not open another loophole? And I think they're taking the summer to really research this and to do it in a really thoughtful way and to do it one step at a time. And I think it's really important that our political process has that ability. And I think currently with the amount of money of outside groups that are spending in our elections, they have influence and they're trying to use that influence to make sure that they don't have to have increased disclosure and transparency. And I think it's really, really important that we do fully close these loopholes in a thoughtful manner so that we can get to what voters really need. And that's the right to know of who's speaking in our elections.
Let's take another call. This is Bob in Stratford. Hi, Bob. Thanks for waiting. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
There's this whole conversation is being required because of that giant loophole in existing law that is found at 664 2 Roman 3. It has been determined to be unenforceable. So the attempt by way of the Senate bill and by way of my House version, I'm prime sponsor of the House version, is to define what a political committee is so that reporting or registering and reporting laws can be enforced.
Can I ask you a question, Bob? We had a caller who called in earlier who said that the bill is a sham. Again, those are his words, because it only requires the names of the groups that are spending, not the moneyed interests who are funding those groups. And this caller in particular was saying, look, that's just not good enough. It doesn't really give us a good enough sense of what's really behind this group. What do you think?
I would agree, but we're taking this a step at a time. We would much prefer that the more meaningful itemization of expenditures be put into law first. I'm not so much concerned about the donors at this point. What we need is a meaningful law requiring the registering of these special interest groups and their expenditures. The expenditure portion is much more meaningful in that if I'm a candidate and I go to I do some research and I discover that there's $2 million worth of negative advertising headed my way, I can make some choices. I can decide to, gear up my fundraising efforts, or I can decide to quit, not run for office. The expenditure portion, at least initially, is the most important and the most meaningful to candidates.
So a first step,
the public.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
What do you think, Corey, a first step?
Well, I think the law already exists is the whole point. I don't understand why we're not enforcing the laws which we currently have. Again,
the registration reporting
exactly
requirements
I've
that already exist.
Said, if you are going to spend more than $500 in a calendar year, either supporting or opposing a specific candidate for office, you are required to register with the Secretary of State's office and disclose that expenditure. The same is true with the Political Action Committee here in the state of New Hampshire. So I understand that they have a ultimate desire to get disclosure of donors to these entities, but right now the law is very clear. If you're going to make expenditures, that are for or against a candidate, for or against a ballot initiative, you have to disclose how much money you're spending, and there are specific time frames of when that has to happen. And one other point that I just want to touch on that Olivia mentioned, which is the financing, the public financing for political campaigns. I think the problem we have with that is we're still recovering from a recession. How do we enforce people to pay more money in their taxes? What if they don't want to be part of the process? Does that mean
in terms of public financing?
That's right.
Campaigns.
At the federal level, you have the option to check off that box on your IRS return, your federal tax return that says, I want to contribute $3 to the presidential campaign. Are we going to implement that here in New Hampshire? And what if we say no? So, you know, I don't think we can go back to the public once again as we've just raised, you know, our state budget 17% and say, it's just a little bit more. We've just increased the gas and diesel tax by another 83%. It's just a little bit more. Don't worry. You can afford it.
Well, and maybe we'll do the public financing for another day because that's a huge topic. But go ahead, Olivia.
But there is a double standard because candidates, political parties that register as political committees do give their donors, they report all their expenditures, they register with the Secretary of State, they put in all those reports. But the special interest groups, a lot of this third-party money, outside secret money, is not following those rules. And so what Senator Bradley's bill does is try to encourage these special interest groups to register and follow those same rules.
So there's a definitional problem. Some have to register and follow all these strict requirements that Corey mentioned, and some don't. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And that's what this bill tries to do, is redefine what a political committee is so that these special interests, these super PACs, all of these groups that are spending money to influence the election must register. And it does it simply by saying, if you spend more than $5,000 to influence an election, that's an electioneering communication or an independent expenditure, then you must register. And so that's how Senator Bradley's bill closes this loophole, is a simple threshold. If you're spending more than $5,000, no matter if you're red, green, blue, purple,
whatever you call yourself,
you must, if you're spending money to influence voters, you must register. And that really does a lot to close that loophole that Corey's saying, that we need to enforce our current law so that those groups are following the same rules as the candidates, as the political parties.
Here's an email from Liz in Londonderry who says, I'm for full disclosure, especially to shareholders, and I'm also wondering if there's any drive to prohibit contributions from outside the state. That could clean up, Liz says, a lot of this mess. Corey Lewandowski, I'm guessing the cat's already out of the bag on that one. Contributions from outside of the state have been used for a long time by many candidates.
They have, and I think it's very difficult to then go and determine what is an in-state organization. Does that mean you've got a P.O. box in the state and you're now a state of New Hampshire entity? As you know, a number of the organizations set up individual state chapters, and while they may be affiliated with an organization which is based in Washington or in other places, they're actually independent groups and run under an independent status, as we've seen with the New Hampshire Citizens for Action, which is a 501c4 here in the state. You know, we've seen this all the time. And so the answer is, I don't know how you limit people. You know, if I have a summer residence in Massachusetts, do I become a Massachusetts person or a New Hampshire person? Is Scott Brown a U.S. Senator from Massachusetts or New Hampshire with a residence at the beach for the last, you know, 20 years?
So that would get rid of funding. Liz's idea would get rid of funding from the Democratic Governor's Organization helping out Maggie Hassan, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee helping out Republican candidates. It would get rid of all that national activity. It'd be really hard to do.
And again, I think what you have is you really have two separate things. When it relates to federal elected officials, members of Congress and the U.S. Senate, the state has absolutely no jurisdiction in setting those limits and or determining how money is spent. That is done at the federal level. And the Supreme Court has been very clear on how they can go about that.
Yeah, that's an important point of clarification, isn't it, Olivia, that you almost have two sets of rules. You mentioned Maine as a model earlier. That only applies, though, to Maine legislative and Maine governor, correct? It doesn't apply to Maine U.S. Senate and Maine Congress.
Correct.
Because each federal elections are governed differently from state elections. Is that a problem? Would you like to see that fixed? Changed?
I think the federal rules apply to all 50 states and anyone running for federal offices. There's different rules for state officials. And so, you know, I think the federal rules actually need to be fixed so that full disclosure is required. And there's a federal disclosure bill that is being debated in Washington right now that would do some of the same things that this Senate Bill 120 would do here in New Hampshire. and requiring full transparency of these special interest groups. So there's disclosure needed at the federal level, but there's also disclosure needed at the state level. And I think the states really do have a way to set their own rules and their own standards for what governs the gubernatorial races, the state Senate races, the executive council races, the state rep races, just like the city of Concord has the right to control the rules over the mayor's race and the city council races.
So, and discussion then is ongoing, not just in New Hampshire, but it's important to note in Congress as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Corey, what are your predictions? I think I can guess, but in terms of spending and amounts and so forth for the 2014 elections, some people are already saying, you thought 2012 was big? Just wait for 2014.
Yeah, we're going to continue to see an increased cost for running for office. There's no question about it. You know, again, if you look back at McCain-Feingold, the goal there was to close the loopholes. And what we have seen is this bill is probably one of the single biggest disasters to campaign finance ever, because it actually opened up the notion of super PACs, which never existed in 2002. So, you know, when we're trying to close loopholes today, we can't foresee 10 or 12 years into the future. But I will ultimately predict that the next presidential election will be more expensive than the last presidential election.
Yeah, what do you think, Olivia? Probably some agreement there between you and
Yeah,
Corey.
No, I think there is agreement that the money has just escalated, and especially in the state Senate races. We've seen state Senate races increase 45% in the last 10 years, and that's going to continue to grow. But not only is the races for the candidates going to grow, it's this special interest out-of-state secret money that is continuing to grow and be the most money that has been being spent is this pocket.
All right. Well, both of you, real complicated. Thank you for coming in and helping us sort this out. Corey, thanks a lot for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Corey Lewandowski, Regional Director of the East Coast for Americans for Prosperity. Olivia Zink, good to meet you. Thank you also for your time.
Thank you for coming.
Olivia Zink, Program Director for the Coalition for Open Democracy, a nonprofit organization. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our intern is Faith Meixel. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.